Thank you, Shay and Sharon, for leading us in our worship singing. I want to focus a few thoughts this morning based on the book of Isaiah. We as a congregation, we've been very slowly working our way through the minor prophets, the last 12 books of the Old Testament. We started almost a year ago with the book of Obadiah, and then we tackled the book of Jonah, and then Joel, and now we're about three quarters of the way through the book of Amos. But as I was thinking and praying and preparing for our Good Friday service, I could not find much material, at least not in the minor prophets, that had to do with the suffering of our Savior. And I don't know about you, but when I think of Good Friday, I almost automatically think of suffering. But in the major prophets, particularly the prophet Isaiah, he wrote a lot about the suffering of our Savior. Isaiah really is an incredible book. In fact, there is more written in the book of Isaiah about the person and work of the coming Messiah than in any other Old Testament book. And that has caused some to label Isaiah, to call him the evangelical prophet. He had so much to say about the Savior. And what is truly remarkable is that he wrote these prophecies hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. Well, within the book of Isaiah, there are some what Bible scholars have called servant songs. Servant songs. There are four of them. And contained within these four servant songs, we are told much about the Messiah and his upcoming ministry, using some of the greatest poetry in the entire scripture. These four servant songs were strategically placed within Isaiah's prophecy, really turning it, transforming it into what could have been just a prophecy of doom and gloom, transforming it into a prophecy of salvation and of hope. The first so-called servant song talks about the call of the Savior. It's in Isaiah 42, verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. And as you continue reading in Isaiah 42, the Messiah is introduced in some general terms, and there are some prophecies of his upcoming successes and also promises of his empowering for ministry, the call of the servant. Over in Isaiah 49, we have the second servant song where we have the commission of the servant, the last part of verse 6. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And again, as you study this on your own, you will see that this servant song talks a lot about the physical and spiritual restoration of the nation of Israel, but also the ministry that will extend to the ends of the earth, to Gentiles like you and like me. Over in chapter 50 is the third servant song, the commitment of the servant. Again, verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. And this is really amazing. In Near Eastern culture, particularly in Bible times, anyone who was horribly mistreated and tortured and abused like this would most certainly be crying out with shouts and screams and possibly even curses. But not so Jesus. He willingly submitted to this torture. He offered his back and his beard to those who were persecuting. Truly remarkable. We need to remember, my friends, that it was the commitment of our Savior that drove him to the cross. Nothing else. It was the commitment of our Savior that nailed him to the cross. And then partway through chapter 52 and into chapter 53, we see the crowning of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely, verse 13. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. He will be crowned. So the call of the servant, the commission of the servant, the commitment of the servant, the crowning of the servant. But particularly in these last two servant songs, the dominant theme has to do with the suffering of the servant. Isaiah 53, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And I must say that as I reread these servant songs in preparation for the service this morning, I have a fresh appreciation for all that Christ has done, as he willingly endured torture, abuse, crucifixion for my sins, for your sins, for our sins. Paul Bilheimer has written an excellent book titled Don't Waste Your Sorrows. Listen to this quote. Human beings are not the only sufferers in the universe. There is a tendency to suppose that the God who decreed the penalty for sin did so arbitrarily and is himself unaffected by his decree. But not so. You may be surprised by the statement that the infinitely happy God is the supreme sufferer in the universe. Isn't that amazing? The infinitely happy God is the supreme sufferer of the universe. I'm afraid that often we are tempted to think suffering. Who needs it? Suffering. What a waste of time. Dr. J.R. Miller says, we do not know how much we owe to suffering. Many of the richest blessings that have come down to us from the past are the fruit of sorrow and pain. The world's greatest blessings have come out of its greatest sorrow. Watchman Nee claims that we may not learn anything new about God except through adversity. That's quite a statement. It is possible that we may not learn anything new about God except through adversity. And others would suggest that there are some things that God cannot do unless he first allows suffering to come our way. Indeed, some of the greatest saints have been the greatest sufferers. Now, of course, there are some people today who preach and teach exactly the opposite. There are some people today who preach and teach that the Christian life is a life of unbroken joy, constant peace, material prosperity. All we have to learn to do is name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. The impression is given that to be saved and spirit-filled is to lead a charmed life of constant blessing, where every problem is immediately solved. And we will witness miracle after miracle after miracle. My friends, the truth of the matter is, based on the scriptures, some saints suffer. In fact, it may be true that many saints suffer. And as we seek to follow the example of the suffering servant in these servant songs in the book of Isaiah, we will discover that sometimes the Christian life demands that we, with God's help, have the determination and the courage and the commitment to see our way through suffering. Because sometimes suffering is unavoidable. Sometimes hardship and conflict and pain cross our paths. And in the midst of these troubles that may come our way, there is an incredible verse tucked away in the second servant song, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, that just blows me away. Isaiah 50, 10, let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. There are no doubt some here this morning who are walking in the darkness of suffering. Indeed, there may be many here this morning who are walking in the darkness of suffering. Just like Job in the Old Testament, some of you have lost your job, your source of livelihood, your income. Just like Job, some of you have lost or are losing family members and friends. Just like Job, some of you are losing your health and you are suffering, suffering, suffering. What can we learn from these servant songs in the book of Isaiah? We can learn this. Sometimes the path to glory winds through valleys of suffering. And if we find ourselves in the midst of troubles, we need to resolve to follow in the footsteps of our Savior. Again, to follow his example and to not draw back. With his help, to summon the determination and the courage and the commitment we need to see our way through those valleys of suffering. There's a poem by Ella Wheeler Wilcox, simply titled Faith, that has deeply touched my heart, and I want to share it with you this morning in closing. I will not doubt. Though all my ships at sea come drifting home with broken masts and sails, I will believe the hand that never fails from seeming evil worketh good for me. And though I weep, because those sails are tattered, still will I cry while my best hopes lie shattered. I trust in thee. I will not doubt. Those sorrows fall like rain, and troubles swarm like bees about a hive. I shall believe the heights for which I strive are only reached by anguish and by pain. And though I groan and tremble with my crosses, I yet shall see through my severest losses the greater gain. That, my friends, is what the Lord Jesus did for us. He saw the greater gain and endured the cruel suffering of the cross for you and for me. Let us reflect deeply on these profound truths as we celebrate communion together.